Okay, and our next presentation on this subject, this is a little bit different than what we normally do. It has to do with what I would call non-traditional revenue. We're all used to, you know, we put on the streaming and we have the internet access websites, and in sales they have their non-traditional revenue, do add-ons, bonuses, and such like that. So now we're in the next phase. We're moving up where we're dedicating a staff and people to directly address and work with the streaming, the websites, and make that more of, instead of a non-traditional revenue, more of a traditional revenue. So in our next presentation, Who Moved My Battleground, is by Brian Foster, and he's the Vice President of Next Media 360. Thank you.
Am I good? I'm live. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your time, and hopefully being the last session of the day, we'll have a little bit of fun, right, so you can get on to have the brats and beers tonight, which sounds like a good time. I wish I could make it, but I'm going to go ahead and try to drive through this weather back down to Chicago in an F-150. So my truck's going to set sail, and hopefully I save some gas on the way home. First off, you guys scare me. I'm going to be honest. Had the pleasure to speak of a lot of conferences all around the country. And when I was a general manager, before I was in this role, I really tried to learn what engineers did. I really was nice. I was that GM that all the engineers I wanted the engineers to love me. So I'd go and talk to them and sit down and say, how are you doing today? Show me what's up. How can I help? Give him some time. He needs to work, right? After 3 years, I just sat through that whole presentation and understood about 6 words. So you guys, you have my respect. It's amazing what you do. But I have had the opportunity to work with all the divisions inside of Next Media as we rolled out these digital platforms. So I've had to work with engineering to a point, sales definitely, programming definitely, and promotions, and try to really make it relevant to all of them on what it is we're trying to do. Today we wanted to talk about one very specific aspect of the mobile platform, or the digital platform, if you will, and that's mobile. So many people in the broadcast industry are working on their streams and their websites, and that's really important, but I think they've yet to realize that looking 10, 12 years out, a lot of people will tell you that the computer itself is going to change drastically. When you look at Bill Gates, he's been talking about it for years, how they're really going to become these new hybrid devices. And the first example, I feel at least, we're seeing that happen today on the mobile device, the mobile phones, some of these new hybrid devices. So I thought today we would just take a half hour to look at the current reality of where we are, maybe look at the future a little bit, and answer any questions you might have. But again, radio guy, not here to tell you that radio is dead and digital is the only way to go. I really don't believe that. I believe these devices, when used properly, can strengthen the bond with our radio listener, but it's just another device. It's not something that this is not the death nail of radio by any means. It's not the savior nor the assassin. So today, with that said, we do believe, looking into the dashboard, that AM and FM will not hold us exclusivity for much longer. Even next year, they announced yesterday that Ford is now going to have Pandora voice-activated machines in most of their cars next year. We're not talking 10 years from now, we're talking next year's model. And Pandora has always been very careful to advise against using their devices in car, because to do that would be encouraging using a device with lots of touches in the car, similar to texting almost. So they've always been very careful to say, to not promote the fact you can listen to Pandora driving on the street, even though the reality is you can. I listen to 20 different stream stations in my car coming up. But next year, when these Ford devices come out, you're going to say, car radio, turn on Pandora, turn on the Led Zeppelin channel, and you're off and you're going. Now, again, is that going to kill radio in 2012? No. But it's something we at least need to be aware of. The other thing you got to understand, I had a great conversation at lunch today with a gentleman who told me he's not doing the smartphones. He's just not going there. He wants to talk on it. He wants to send texts, and that's great. But when they're doing some research, I believe it was June, middle of the year, was for the first month, the cell phone, the primary use of the cell phone was no longer to make calls. People spent more data and time sending text messages than they did actually making phone calls on the device. So the first thing you got to get through to the markets when you're talking to your promotions people and your sales people and your programming people, if you think of cell phones for making phone calls, you are behind. You got to realize that it's a new entertainment device. When it comes to entertainment, no one really does it better, I think, than radio. If you do an app well, and again, today I'm not a vendor, I'm not selling anything. If you like what we're doing, I can't sell it to you. I'm not going to make any money off of it. However, we are going to talk about the specific vendor we use. I love them. It's very relevant for us. So we're going to show you what we use, and by all means, you can use whoever you want. There are a lot of great vendors in this space. So when you see us show you the Aircast apps here in a little bit, I'm not endorsing Aircast per se, but we love them. But the point is, you can take everything you do and tie it to this device, much like the user can tie their whole life into the device. Your radio station can do so as well. Texting in for requesting songs, calling to requesting songs, texting geo-targeted ads between the radio station. These are all things that are either happening today or soon will happen. The reality is, with a little ingenuity, we soon will be able to talk to our consumers wherever they are and give them whatever they want and do it seamlessly through these mobile devices. And obviously, there are revenue benefits of going mobile. We're just now scratching the surface. Even Pandora, with all the press, if they hit the 100 million user mark this year, they're projected to make $150 million in revenue. When you put it up against radio's revenue, it's nothing. That's admitted, it's nothing compared to radio's total revenue. But then again, 3 years ago, they couldn't even find an investor because they thought they were going out of business. They no longer have those conversations now. It's no longer about, are you going out of business? It's, how are we going to grow this moving forward? Smartphones projected at sometime next year, you will actually see the switch to where smartphones will overtake feature phones as a primary mobile phone in America. If you don't have a smartphone, chances are your friends do. And if they don't, chances are they'll have one soon. As we talk about here at the end of the presentation, Apple and Verizon took their first official step last week to making the official announcement. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give a dollar to anyone. $1, right? You can get it, if you watch the Wendy's commercials, you can get a lot for a dollar because we work in radio, so I'm giving $1 right now to whoever can tell me. Oh, that's a 20. Whew. Calm down a minute. $1. This one goes to my wife. If you can tell me what Apple and Verizon announced within the last 10 days that really kind of showed once and for all, yeah, there. You raise your hand first. What is it?
There'll be an Apple iPhone 4 of the Verizon system.
Not been announced yet. But there was something else that was announced that they went, oh yeah, it's happening. Anyone else? Any other guesses? Yes, back there. The iPad. The iPad is now available through Verizon starting a couple weeks, if not already. Here you go. Congratulations. Spend that wisely. It's not worth what it was a couple years ago. But no, the iPad is now available on the Verizon network. You got to use a simple plug-in to make it work on their network, but that was really, this is going to happen. And when the iPhone gets announced finally, because it's the world's worst kept secret, when it's finally official, you're going to see an explosion of growth. It's already going straight up. It's going to only accelerate. People right now are holding off because they want to keep the Verizon network. And that's why the Droid network has gotten so popular. It's been a number two choice. But soon, it's going to make a big difference. Back to the fact that phones do more than make just calls. Here's a study that was released a couple months ago, talking about the most popular activities to do on your cell phone. Text messaging, is this red? This would be the laser. Yeah, look at that. Text messaging, instant messaging, email, social network. Number one, communication. It's all about communication. Actually, there was an engineer in this room who shall remain nameless who is in a smack talking session with myself as of about 5 minutes ago. He said he was waiting to ask me all kinds of hard questions when this is over, and we were going back and forth on Facebook while the whole rest of the world was going on. It's amazing how quick and easy it is to stay connected with these smartphones. When he answers me back, my phone buzzes, I see the message, I answer him back, his phone buzzes, vice versa. So the communication is key with a cell phone. But after that really is entertainment. As you can see, projected in 2011, audio playback, which would be a podcast, but audio streaming is something that they projected a lot of people are going to get involved in. Look at that jump between 07 and 10. 21% to 72%. That's just in 3 short years. And that's why we kind of go back to that first slide with the computer. Obviously, the computer is not going to die today. It's not going to die tomorrow. But some will say in 10 years that the mouse might not be needed anymore. Keyboard might not even be needed anymore. We all laugh because, like, come on. But look at the iPad. I mean, look at and all these other devices now with the BlackBerry Playbook they've announced. The Droid is getting ready to announce one. They don't have keypads. Or keyboards, excuse me. So with our mobile apps, we use Aircast, and we built them and launched with BlackBerry and iPhone through the first quarter of this year. We're a small radio company, okay? We have 2 stations in San Jose, which are top-rated, but outside of that, we have Chicago stations in the suburbs, and Myrtle Beach, Saginaw, Canton, Dallas in the suburbs again. So it's not a huge station. For us, we were kind of proud of this. We hit 250,000 downloads in about 8 months, and that's without the Droid, which is the most used phone on the marketplace, I believe, is the Droid. If not, it's quickly becoming one of the most popular platforms. But a lot of people use a Droid. We just released our first Droid apps last week. We now have 7 of our 33 stations on Droid apps. So without Droid, we did 250,000. Now with Droid, we expect that number to be closer to 500,000 by the end of the first quarter. Obviously, this led to our cum growth and also the number of sessions growing as well. Excuse me, let me just grab a water real quick. Forgive me. A little frog in my throat, sorry. Giving away that dollar bill hurt. So it's had a real effect for us. Now the question is, how to get anybody to sell it? All right? This is a major point, because even though the cum's going up, and it's still the reality is our average station might have 100 or 200 listeners at any given time. And the salespeople go, why am I going to bother with 200 listeners in a $3 spot if I got 20,000 listeners on a radio station and I can get $100 a spot? And then I kind of whimper and go home and pout for 2 days because I don't know the answer. But no, in all reality, there are ways you can position it. For example, who says you have to sell it by the spot? Everything's sold by the spot. But in the stream, everything is measured by impressions. And if you use Ando, you can sell it either way. So why not just take a group of 25,000 impressions and sell those? Why are we selling 10 commercials? Because the first question the advertiser is going to ask is, how many people were listening? Oh, 72. It diminishes the value. But with the impression sale, hey, you're going to buy 25,000 impressions, $10 CPM is $250. Awesome. I get to buy 25,000 impressions. Sounds good. Sign me up. It's a paradigm shift. When we're talking about streaming, we got to think like streamers. We talk about radio, we got to think like broadcasters. Is it fair? No. Would it be easier if the internet was never invented for all of us? Yeah. Frankly, would our society be better off? Some could argue. The internet's not, it's had a lot of positive. It's also had a lot of negative. All the bullying that's coming up, all the, just the political season this year with the way the internet has spread both truth and rumor. A lot of good and bad. Same with us. So it all depends on how you look at it. You got to find ways to make it real to your staffs. But one thing that is definitely real all the time is radio operators, we do like to save money. So it's really about doing more with what you got. So obviously, our core product is the AM-FM transmission. Now, HD would obviously be thrown in there as well. Then you take that station and you stream it down to your PC platform. If you use Stream the World or Liquid Compass or one of a number of providers, then obviously you can also have a mobile app. The great thing about our mobile apps is they connect directly for us to Stream the World. So we use Aircast. Aircast pulls it directly from Stream the World. Our mobile apps have nothing to do with our facilities. As long as we're getting the signal out to Stream the World, they'll take care of everything else. So it's seamless. You don't need a second encoder. You don't need a whole lot of extra equipment. The reality is they're pulling directly from your stream service. And the hybrid. We'll show you an example here what I'm talking about, but the iPad, developers love the iPad. Because if you listen, and this is a great story, I'll tell it quickly. I wanted to buy an iPad and CapEx it in the worst way, right? Because our company had just hit the level. I had to justify it, and Steve Jobs was doing his big presentation, and he said, all of your apps will work on the iPad. However, you might want to maximize them because all the sizes are changed, and I just got a big smile. I have to buy an iPad now to make sure our apps look okay. And I did. I was in line the morning it went on sale, and I got the CapEx, and I carry my iPad. But developers love it because now you have a BlackBerry app, but the BlackBerry Playbook has a 7-inch screen, not a 2-inch screen. And the iPad has a 9-inch screen. The iPhone has a 3.5-inch screen. What does that mean? Simple. Here is Pandora on a phone, iPhone. I grabbed that this morning. One of my favorite bands is a British band. If you guys ever watched a hockey game and the Blackhawks score that game, that's these guys, in case you cared. Probably not. But this is what Pandora looks like on an iPhone. This is what it looks like on an iPad. Yeah. It's got all of my favorite channels. Lady Antebellum, because my wife likes them. Brooks and Dunn, because I like them. Dave Matthews, Van Morrison. Pink, Frank Sinatra. As you can tell, I'm quirky. But now, the channel pulls up, they have a bio, they have all these different tools. All these things exist because there's extra real estate to make them exist. The engagement is only going to get more advanced as we get faster, better, and larger screens. Radio stations can take advantage of this as well. By the way, here is the BlackBerry Playbook. It's funny because Steve Jobs created the iPad to fit in between the cell phone and the computer, right? 9-inch screen, it fits right in between. Well, the BlackBerry decided they're going to fit in between those two and came out with a 7-inch screen. So Steve Jobs had to do a call last week, and the iPad sales fell a little short. They only did $4.5 million, not $5 million, right? Still very profitable, but they were busting chops a little bit. And he said, listen, that BlackBerry makes no sense. It's an in-between product for an in-between product, which is actually a pretty good way to say it. There is a lot of argument, was the iPad too big? If you've ever used one, it's kind of hard on your thumbs. They're still figuring it out, but regardless, if it's 7 inches, if it's 9 inches, if it's 11 inches, these new hybrid devices hold a lot of potential because people who are buying them carry both their smartphone and their iPad, and they're going to want to communicate the way they want to communicate. There was 2 years ago at the RAB, a famous broadcaster announced he was turning off his stream, and by all means, it made sense for him. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying we're right. However, I kind of go back to the president of Cisco once said, don't ever be afraid to cannibalize your own audience because your competitors will. So we can sit here and pretend the Pandora doesn't exist or that FM and AM is going to forever hold exclusivity to entertainment in the car. And we can fool each other and keep saying that. It's not the truth. Doesn't mean we're all going to die tomorrow or the industry's gone. Doesn't mean that. But it does mean we have to get real and realize the opportunities that we could be presented with. So estimates forecast by the end of 2012, they're going to sell about 100 million iPads. Now you have an Android coming soon. You have the BlackBerry. Sprint has one. And there's just Windows 7, or Windows is announced they're going to come out with one. You're going to see more and more of these hybrid devices. They all work off the mobile marketplace. So if you have a mobile app, you can live on the iPad. If you have an iPhone app and someone has an iPad, it works. It shows up. If you've never seen one, the screen is 9 inches, so it's black, and then in the middle there's a 3-inch square with your app. If you hit the 2x button, it'll come all the way out. It's just a little pixelated, but it's still functional. So if your radio station has an iPhone app, it'll work. If it has a BlackBerry app, it will work on the new slate. That's what they call the devices, or slates. It's just not optimal. Here, let's take a look at what our apps do. And again, there are lots of different apps that do a lot of different things. But from a sales standpoint, a brand manager standpoint, general manager standpoint, we have to realize that these apps can become very, very intuitive and very smart. And we have very small staffs and very small budgets. But these mobile apps let us feel very large. And we'll show you some of the different things these apps will take off of one feed. All they're doing is just reading the data stream coming off of our stream, and they're compiling all of this. Who uses, are you guys familiar with the product Tune Genie? Anybody? It kind of does, this app does for a mobile phone what Tune Genie does for a website. And let's show you a couple screenshots here. So obviously the first nice thing is WKZQ is our little radio station in Myrtle Beach, and we're sitting next to WLS. Kind of cool. This is my phone. I'm a big LS fan. But we're sitting right next to the biggest, one of the biggest stations in Chicago. By the way, we're the same size. They don't get any bigger, okay? They got to be 26 by 26 just like we do. We're the same size. I like that. It's kind of cool. I went and told my wife, I said, we're the same size, WLS. She said, do you mow the lawn yet? No. But guess what I did when I was mowing the lawn? I turned my app on. I got her back. Splash screen. When you first open your app, advertiser can go right in there. Boom. Nice little image. Again, makes you feel fun, kind of cool. This is our rock station in Myrtle Beach. Go to the next screen, and the lyrics scroll live right over the phone. We don't type those lyrics in. They just appear. The magic of somebody much smarter than me. Up here, this is our rock club. If you click this, it will actually take you to a mobile site where you can sign up to our rock club. So it's actually what they would call like a hot zone. So you can actually build a clickable zone into your home player. And down here is the name and the album of the song. If you click on the album, it pulls up and becomes full screen. If you flick it with your finger, it shows you the back of the album and all the tracks around that album. Every song, real time. Just keeps doing it for you. So again, the listener pulls this open. They have no idea that this staff has three DJs. It does. It's the reality. Has three DJs, five salespeople, and a promotion assistant who's on five stations. Feels much, much bigger. You go into the playlist, which is in the menu. You can see recently played, most popular favorites, and my favorites. If you open up a song and you like it, you click add to my favorites, it puts it in your own profile. You can then get it later and pull it out. So the listener actually gets their own profile built right in the app. This is what the playlist looks like. You can actually put an advertiser right in the playlist. So right here, Popeye's Chicken, click here to join our text club or to find out more. They click on that link, it takes them to their own special website, built right into the phone app. Now the listener, with one click, can join a texting club, go to a store locator, hear their ad, really anything. It can take them to any website that, bless you, any website that Popeyes wants to send them to. So now they're tucked right into the radio station. Just right in. They're right alongside the station. As the people are wasting time playing with it, they can pull all this information from the advertiser. We set it up one time, set it and forget it. The great thing about these apps, by the way, a lot of companies are selling them before they even have listener data, because I'm sure a lot of you are saying, well, how many listeners do they have? But these new tools are so fun and unique and cool. The coolness factor will actually surpass that. How many listeners do you have? A lot of these apps will get sponsored before they even go live. Now, we've done a horrible job with them. Self-admittedly, we have. We have other radio companies that have a fraction of our downloads that are selling out their apps. We just have to get better at it. But the reality is, a lot of these companies are already selling their apps before they even go live. Because what you do is you mention on the air. See, this is a great thing to promote, because what program director is not going to want to promote this app? Well, when you promote it, hey, make sure you download the KZQ mobile phone app powered by Popeye's Chicken. Advertiser gets a little plug. They get the notoriety, the coolness of being associated with it. Everybody wins. You don't take up units. And then my favorites, you can actually go in and see all the songs that you saved for later. There. That is the model that a lot of companies have that exist today. However, a question needs to eventually be asked. If you do this, cool, good for you. That's where we are right now. But we're constantly having conversations. Do we need to go a step further? Because the reality is, just like I said earlier, with the impressions and spots, when you're in the streaming space, you got to think like a streamer. When you're in the radio space, you got to think like a radio guy. Well, the listeners have to think that way too. Is it enough to simply offer your radio station rebroadcast to a cell phone? Will that hold up against Pandora? To some degree, yes, because you have contesting, news, elements, personalities. But that might not be enough. So some people are already working on models where they can actually take four or five versions of a radio station and give that person more choice. So in this scenario, if you logged on to KZQ, the first stream you could choose from is the traditional stream, then maybe a heavy rock version of KZQ, a live rock version of KZQ, cover version of KZQ, and basically you can just pick the stream you want to listen to, and you can have your content and everything else folded right into it. That model is coming soon. Some stations are already doing it. And to that end, I want to give a quick plug to a station we have nothing to do with, but if you want to see that in action, KINK does a great job. They've been doing it for years. When you go to Kink's website, by the way, when you Google it, type in Kink FM, or else you're going to get a very different return. And I know that for a fact. I was like, wow, I'm sure they would appreciate these screen captures, but I don't think it would really do much for the presentation. So anyways, Kink FM, you're going to listen to, this is a real world. You can listen to their stream, acoustic, new music, lights out, blues room, and then download their mobile apps. And what they do is each channel has a title sponsor, and then they can fold ads throughout the network. This is a real example we did this year. Currently, WJOL in Joliet, Illinois, we have two news people, afternoon guy and morning guy. Everything else syndicated. Really no promotions director. Our promotions director split six ways. So, five ways. Really not a promotions director. Very small staff, but a great station. They really own high school football. So last year, we decided to do a texting club. You text in scores to 77007, and twice a Friday night, we send you out updates, and we got a sponsor, and that was cool. But still, the live broadcast is what we're really known for. So when you go to WJOL, right now, you can listen to the football game on the radio. You can listen to it on a stream, on a computer sitting at home. Or if you are in the stands, you can open up your WJOL iPhone app, and your phone now can broadcast the game over the internet. Kind of cool. Three options for one football game. But there's a lot of good football teams in Joliet. A lot. Which ones do you choose? So we decided, let's do a second game. Let's put it on the internet only. So now, doesn't touch the airwaves, but you can go to WJOL.com, and you can listen to a second game on the website. Still not very unique. Radio stations all around the country are doing that. But we took it to another level, which I think is pretty unique. And so far, I've not seen another example. There might be, and please show me if there are. But we actually went out and had a separate application created specifically for the Internet Game of the Week. We call it the IGOW. So now you can download two mobile apps for WJOL. They're traditional, and an application is only active on Friday nights, and it plays that second game. So that second game never touches the airwaves, AM, but you can sit in the stands and listen on your mobile phone and choose which game you want to listen to. We built two apps because that's two sets of inventory to sell. This is brought to you by ServiceMaster. This one's brought to you by Exxon. Next year, we're actually going to do five games. Although at that point, we're going to aggregate all five games onto one mobile app. But you're going to have five different games you can choose from to listen on a stream. And what do you need to do that? You need a $500 encoder, and you need five groups of people to broadcast it. And obviously, you need someone like Greg that can make it all work. But that's what you guys get paid for. So that was something kind of fun that we did in a very small environment. By the way, for every dime we spent on this application, we made a dollar. It was 10% cost, 90% profit. And that was year one. Remember that texting club I was telling you about last year? That's expensive. It's 3 cents for every text. And to cover all the games, that's 2 cents. So it's 6 cents for every send. You get 1,000 people, it starts to add up, right? Well, next year, we're going to fold it into our app. So we're no longer going to be texting the scores. It'll just appear in your app. It'll make more people download the app, which makes us more money, and it'll cut out all of our texting fees. So it gives you, when you start to play around and get creative, it just gives you more opportunities to lower cost and increase engagement. At the end of the day, that's all it is just creating more engagements. Two games, one set of inventory, two sets of online inventory. Wanted to end with a couple of objections, something you might hear if you go back, and maybe I've given you guys something new to look at, or maybe I'm just boring you. But say you like something and you take it back. The one thing I've learned is that people get fearful around new ideas, new terminologies. The speaker before was really good, but he made me nervous because I didn't understand any of it. So my natural inclination was to go, I'm a little nervous. Well, it's no different than when you go back and talk to program directors or salespeople or GMs that don't get it, they get nervous. So you might get one of five or six objections. So let's do a little role playing, shall we? These are six things that you might hear when you go back, although I might have added a seventh. It costs too much to invest in our streams. Between 2011 and 2012, our royalty rates are going up 15%. The royalty rates have already been outlined between now and 2015. For the most part, they go up 8% a year, give or take. Between 2011 and 2012, it's going up 15%. For every dollar we spend today, if we just add 15% to our audience every year, just 15%, in 5 years, for every dollar we're spending today, we're going to be spending $3 in royalties. 5 years. They're going up, 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 up. People who look that far out are going to get real nervous when it comes to streaming, so you got to be careful to know how to justify it. Obviously, Pandora would love for us to get out of these spaces, but even though we're in these spaces, last year, terrestrial radio made up 67% of all streaming. This year, it dropped to 50%. Now, that could be an anomaly. It could bounce back next year. But we lost 17% in a year. Streaming is not going to be the only way to listen in 10 years. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, just like we saw earlier on that PowerPoint slide where it jumped from 20% to 73% interest in 3 years, there's a lot more people that are going to be streaming in 10 years than are streaming today. So we got to fight for them. Because when you choose a radio station, you're choosing between three popular rock stations in town, or maybe two. When you're listening online, you're choosing between 2,000 or 3,000. We got to be prepared for that. So yeah, it's expensive. Let's find ways to make money. But let's just not ignore it, because that's music to Pandora's ears. They're not going away. And Pandora's not the only one, by the way. They're easy to pick on. They're the Walmart of streaming. They're easy to pick on, but they're not the only game in town. My friend Kurt Hansen has a great product, AccuRadio. There's a lot of different places. Audience levels are too small to create revenue. Make sure your sponsorship includes, like we talked about earlier, when you mention it on the air, give them a quick plug. Your weekly email blast, make sure there's a listen live button, and put powered by right there in your email blast. All of these small things you can do add to the value of the advertising package. You're right, if you're only selling to small audience on your stream all the time, it's hard to make money. But if you just get that title sponsor down, that should be enough to at least cover your cost two or threefold. Your title sponsor should be able to automatically make your stream profitable of at least 50%. So if you have $1,000 in cost, charge at least $2,000 for your title sponsor, and then fight to make money on the rest of the spots. So right off the bat, you're profitable. 4 years ago when we first got our streams, I had to do that. I couldn't start a new one until I had it paid for. So I would do one, then do the next, and do the next. But we made it. Apps have low usage. Most apps are only used a few times. That's a really popular piece of research out there that's absolutely true. They followed, I don't remember, enough people to make it at least research relevant. They followed smartphone users, and the average phone had 26 apps. 6 months later, that same phone had one of the original 26. Apps come and they go. People use them once or twice. Have you ever heard of Cowen Space? I have it on my phone. If anybody wants to see the world's worst mobile application, I actually have it. It's been voted that way. I have it on my phone if you want to see it. We're not selling cows in space. Okay, Pandora's app gets used 11 times a month. They're not going away. We're doing something different. So don't get fooled by the whole, oh, apps come and they go. No, entertainment apps, valuable apps, they stay. HTML5 could kill apps in the future. Not going to get too much into this, but it's true. HTML5 can be a way to program a website page that can detect what device you're on and automatically give you a special environment so you don't have to go to Apple to be approved anymore. You don't have to go to Droid to be approved anymore. Maybe that does kill apps, maybe it doesn't. But what's going to kill HTML5? There's always going to be something that kills something. You got to jump in eventually. Apps are a good, affordable way to get started. Data limits will kill mobile streaming. It's estimated that less than 2% of Pandora users were affected by Apple's data limits. One industry head used the analogy of 8 hours a day last couple months ago. Don't want to call him out, but he said, if you listen on your mobile app for 8 hours a day, you got to refinance your house. And everybody went, ha, that's a good point. And it walked away thinking it heard a factual statement. But the reality is, number one, nobody listens to anything for 8 hours a day. Okay? It just doesn't happen. Number two, you're only using your data limits when you're away from Wi-Fi. Most phones, smartphones, especially Apple, which is the biggest abuser, when it finds a Wi-Fi signal, it automatically switches over. So it only uses your 3G when you're not around a Wi-Fi signal. And people are not away from a Wi-Fi signal for 8 hours a day listening to your radio station stream. Doesn't make sense. Again, outside the zone. The reality is that 32 kilobits, which is low, but not horrible, especially when you're using AAC, it's passable. You can listen for 2 hours a day outside your 3G or outside your Wi-Fi zones on 3G. 2 hours a day, 30 days a week, 30 days a month. And it uses less than 1 gig of data. And the average iPhone plan comes with 2. So you still have plenty of usage for other things. Is it consideration? Yes. And some might argue that just the fact that there are limits is enough to keep people from using it, because the perception is that there are limits, so I'm not going to start using audio streaming. That'll play itself out. The numbers don't necessarily show that in the short term. Usage is still going up. So Apple does have data limits. Verizon is rumored to start soon. But it's the video that is the true, that's what really is hurting. The Netflix, the fact you can stream movies on Netflix, those were the real people they're going after with these limits. As the future evolves, mobile will be ever evolving with it. Here are three trends you might watch over the next 6 months to a year. Number one, like we talked about earlier, Apple and Verizon. This is going to really have an impact on both. If Apple goes with Verizon or Sprint, because Sprint and Verizon are on one network, I'm sure you guys know a lot more about that than I do. But the reality is, Droid could take a hit. At the very least, you're going to see smartphones. They're going to be talked about again. When that happens, every news organization is going to be pounding this story for weeks. They're going to have pictures of the lines. Remember how many free ads the iPad got? You couldn't sneeze without hitting a story about an iPad. They had pictures and events and coverage. It was like a whole cultural phenomenon. That is nothing compared to when they finally announced this iPhone on Verizon. It's going to be a huge media story. It's going to spark all kinds of interest, making the penetration of smartphones tick up even that much faster. The hybrid machines, will they hurt PC sales or e-reader sales or incorporate the ability to make phone calls? Some people will tell you they're going to figure out eventually to take a 7-inch screen and turn it into a phone. Some say they will, some say they won't. Who knows? But if a hybrid ever does accomplish that, it's going to become a real player. But even without that, they're still getting more popular. Are they going to hurt PCs or are they going to hurt e-readers? If you've noticed, before the iPad, a Kindle a year and a half ago was about $500, was it not? Anybody? $500? I think they're $149 now for the entry. Year and a half. True, some of it was technology. The prices always go down. But the iPad sure accelerated that. And Microsoft recently admitted they missed a whole product cycle. So with all the wonderful things that BlackBerry and Android and Apple are doing, it's already growing, causing all this growth, the sleeping giant has finally woken up and they're like, not anymore. And they're coming out with new phones that supposedly are going to be on par with the most advanced phones, which is just putting another monster into this space. People are racing and rushing to get to this space. Ironically enough, one of the few industries that's not is the radio industry, because they're looking at the cost. And I'm just simply challenging to find ways to look at the opportunities. With that, I will be quiet. If you would like to see any of our apps, simply go to nextmediagroup.net and click into whatever market you would like. And right here, you can download our iPhone or our BlackBerry apps for every radio station we have. It is a flash map. So if you're on an Apple device, you're going to need to use the menu to the right. We made sure the menu was functional on Apple products. With that said, we would love to have you sample our apps, and thank you for your attention, and I hope you've at least learned one thing today. Thanks. Any questions, comments, concerns? By all means, raise your hand and let's hear them. In the back. Yes?
You showed a graph showing how the feature phone and the smartphone were coming together.
Yeah, the Nielsen graph.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a a feature phone and a smartphone?
It's a good question, because a feature phone sounds really cool. I'm not an industry insider, but the basic difference is a feature phone is going to offer the phone calls, texting, and I believe you can actually have mobile browsing and still be a feature phone, although it's definitely not enhanced. Smartphones run off of applications. So if you have an app store, like an Android phone, most of the Blackberries are all smartphones, the iPhone. Really, it comes down to the ability to download these applications, which really takes small pieces of the internet and put them out right on your desktop. That's a layman's definition. But a feature phone is not going to have any of those abilities. The good question.
This is more of a comment, but you talked about the broadcaster's reluctance to buy into some of this because of the cost.
Yes.
Maybe we can close by that old axiom, it takes money to make money.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Next Media was bankrupt 6 months ago. So trying to justify those costs, it was a scary time. And I'm trying to justify these costs. Very good point. I've been blessed with owners who trust me enough because you know what? We took it in baby steps. Everything we've done, we moved a little slower, but we've stayed profitable. But you're right. At the end of the day, it's just that easy. Hopefully we'll continue to grow. We have a long way to go. We're not claiming that we're the best at this by any means. We're just figuring out what works for our company. Yep, you're good.
Did you write the apps yourself, or are they outsourced?
No, we actually outsourced to a company called Aircast, which is part of the Triton conglomerate. So Aircast basically takes our stream data and explodes it out, and all the functionality you see is basically them just skimming our stream and knowing where to plug everything. And you have to strike your own deals. I think that it's basically a monthly fee now, but it's a very, very small amount, especially if you start to sell title sponsors. We're not talking about thousands of dollars per station a month there. These are very affordable apps. And again, they're just one. Jack Apps makes a great app through Jacobs Media Company. Stream the World has their own apps, and I believe Abacast now does as well.
Not to sound too much like a grouch, but
please.
Now I know I need an iPhone app, and I need a BlackBerry app, and I need an Android app, and now I need a hybrid app.
Yes.
And they're all about $1,000 a piece, I suppose, or is that cost coming down now?
The cost is coming down.
Okay. Yeah. That's some serious money, though. That's adding up to cover the bases, because we get listeners that complain, well, you're not on our BlackBerry, you're not on our Android. Whatever one you don't have an app for, that's the one you're going to be called for. Is there a strategy to pick one?
Yes, there is. As a matter of fact, we've gotten so many complaints about the fact that we didn't have Droid. We didn't choose. Aircast offered iPhone first because iPhones are really the first phones. BlackBerry, at the time, 6 months, a lot's changed because Android's gotten so popular so fast. 6 months ago, when we started this a year ago, it was iPhone, BlackBerry, and eventually Droid. If I had to do it all over again, it would be iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry. And here's the reality. Your iPhone build, you're going to do first, and you're going to think, this is awesome, they did it so quick, because there's only one device. When you start to build, it took us maybe 2 weeks of testing. They send us the test links. It took about 2 weeks to work the bugs out for iPhone. It took about 2 months for BlackBerry. It took even longer for Droid. There's just more. So it worked well on the curve, but not the storm. It worked well on the 6800. So there's a little bit of that. The good news is most vendors are learning those lessons. So by the time you go to invest in them, they'll have the kinks worked out for you. But definitely iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, in my opinion. That's just me, though. Anything else? Chris, anything? You've been so polite. Thank you guys for your attention. If that's it, then wish you all the best in your conference. Thank you.